Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
95.7 The Game presents Warriors World Radio. Featuring the one and only Andy Liu.
Grow up. Yeah, you grow up.
And Sam Esfandiari.
So, who are you? Why do I gotta talk to you?
This is Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game.
We still got Kevin Durant on the intro, Sam?
Yeah, we gotta get a new one.
He gone, Carl. We got
Carl's making more else. Mistakes again.
Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari. We are back. We took maybe like 2 months off.
Yeah, I mean, we...
Basketball season hangover.
That is correct.
Yeah, we took some time off, enjoyed the weather, you know, enjoyed a vacation, enjoyed... Sam, did you know there's a new Golden State Warriors beer that just came out, along with Chase Center, apparently?
There's official beer?
Yeah, there's a Golden Ale or something. I don't know.
But who makes it?
Not a beer guy. Whiskey guy.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, yeah, you're a beer guy. Maybe if they had a Jameson sponsored by Chase Center Arena, that'd be great. By the way, have you seen the new arena?
I have.
Yeah. Part of the show today. I guess we'll go over the rundown real quick. Chase Center impressions. They opened it up to season ticket holders and some VIP fans like Sam Esfandiari himself.
Then they opened it to the media as well the following day. They've moved their operations over to San Francisco officially. So we're officially in the Chase Center era of Warriors history.
Ooh. Which is about maybe like 5-10 minutes from here, from 95.7, from where we're at in studio. So, yeah, I mean, first off, for those that are listening, please call in the number 888-957-9570. Tell us what you think. We know we're going to get a ton of people that want to get thoughts on, you know, moving the arena from Oakland to San Francisco, but personally, I'm excited. The arena looks amazing from the outside and the inside. Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, my thoughts were largely similar to yours. I think it's a beautiful arena. Obviously, it has all the amenities. Oracle was an older arena, so it's kind of exciting to see, you know, a nicer screen for the TV, all the amenities they're putting in. But I couldn't help but think, I'm just super curious what the atmosphere is going to be like there.
Yeah, they got a big old Jumbotron, so I don't know if that's going to bring in more people or not, but I think the main part... Well, they got one of those TVs outside, too. They got that... they bit off the
Raptors. Yeah,
they're
trying to do the whole Jurassic Park thing that the Raptors did. And to be honest, if it does take off the way that it looks like it will, that could be pretty cool, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, but the important part is kind of who shows up and how it's going to be inside. This is a season... We'll get all into the nitty-gritty. We got Bonte Hill coming up after the break. We got Dieter Kurtenbach. We got Joe Shasky coming up at 6 o'clock. So we're here for 3 hours. So we'll get into all the breakdowns of how the season is going to go. But very curious kind of the type of atmosphere that you're going to get on a team that's not necessarily a finals contender, at least for this year. And that could be a good thing, Sam. Like, I was thinking about it. The best Oracle crowds came when the Warriors were essentially a lottery team. And, you know, they had the We Believe team 1 year.
Ooh, I disagree with that. The best Warriors crowds came when they were underdog good. When they were a lottery team, no one showed up.
That was still fun.
And when they were really good, the tickets got too expensive, to which, you know, the person with the deepest pockets showed up.
The person that was wearing the T-shirt over the dress shirt like I did last week, Sam?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, the last couple years, I think everybody knows Oracle was not the best. You know, people were talking about Toronto's arena was great. Couple of the other arenas were better than Oracle. Oracle has that reputation, which essentially was top, you know, top tier, like top one, top two. And it kind of fell by the wayside. We don't know what Chase Center is going to be. I also feel like it has a chance to be better just because the Warriors might not be as good. They are that underdog, essentially, Sam. They're not a lottery team. I don't think we're saying that they're a lottery team, but they're an underdog team that might be a postseason contender, might not have all those same fans that have been there the last couple of years.
I do think, to your point, the Warriors are at their best and the crowd is at their best when they're counted out. I think we sense it with the team. You hear Steph Curry, you hear Draymond Green talk about it all summer, how excited they are that they're being written off, like it's giving them added motivation. And I think that the crowd tends to feed off of that too. Oracle, best crowd I've ever seen was during the We Believe years. Second best crowd was probably those first couple of years they made the playoffs with Steph, Clay, and Draymond, where the rest of the league didn't take them seriously, and they had a point to prove. The last couple of years where they were just trying to maintain everything, it felt like a lot of work to them, and I think that same energy permeated to the crowd.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people that expected a 20-point lead, and when it didn't happen...
A lot of groaning, a lot of eye rolls instead of energy to get the team behind them. Like I do think kind of when the team is energized, the crowd feeds off of it.
Steph Curry had a Facebook show this offseason, and in one of the – I was very surprised that he essentially just came out and said, everybody's counting us out. I love that. He said that multiple times and essentially was proving a point and saying, hey, if you don't want to – you guys want to count us out, that's fine. We operate better that way. And that's true. I mean, it wears on you. Steph and the rest of the Warriors made five consecutive NBA finals. They won three of them. By the end of the last finals, I mean, guys were hurt, but I think guys were tired. Guys were tired, not just physically, but mentally. Can you imagine playing like 100 games every single season, 5 years in a row? I think they're... You know, of course, they want to be favorites. They want to be the best team in the league. But I think they're almost relishing the fact that, hey, there's not really any pressure on the Warriors this year.
Yeah, they're relishing the fact that they've been given added motivation. Huh. To your point, they have played a full season's worth of games over the last 4 to 5 years in the postseason.
Wow.
When you put that into perspective, you're like, so they have played 80-plus more games than their peers. They've played 80-plus more games than James Harden, than Russell Westbrook, than Kawhi Leonard. I mean, they may have played 200 more games than Kawhi Leonard, given how injured he always is.
And Kawhi wasn't even moving at the end of the last finals. Think about that, right? Like, he couldn't even make it through the last finals.
All I'm going to say is there's a reason no team has gone to 5 straight finals since the 60s Celtics. And they did it in like an 8-12 team league.
Yeah, that don't count, right? That don't count. The crazy part is, too, 80 postseason games are not the same as 80 regular season games. Entirely different ball game.
And every player will tell you that.
Yeah. Game plan's different. The focus is different.
The energy.
And all of it, right? Every game almost, I mean, you could say the 80 games almost, you can say those are probably 100 plus.
I am the bully ball, man.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just straight bully ball the whole time in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, and they fought through that. Yeah, I mean, it's a team that it is weird, though, because it's a transition year, too. And I think there's a little bit of Joe Lacob did a few podcasts on some other shows recently and essentially kind of dispelled the notion that this was a lavish arena, kind of built for, I guess if you say, rich people. He kind of wanted to dispel that really quick and said, hey, we want this arena to be essentially the same as Oracle.
I will say this. This was the one thing that stood out to me at Chase was they did not try to pack the seats in. Hmm. Whether the atmosphere is as good as Peak Oracle, we will see. But I was kind of impressed by the sight lines all over the arena. I went up to the second tier, kind of towards the top rows. I went down in the lower bowl. I tried to kind of see it from as many different angles as I could. And the one thing that stood out to me was it was still a two-tiered arena where the seats were relatively close, kind of felt like Golden One in Sacramento, felt like Oracle. It did not feel like Staples Center or one of these arenas that has 7,000-8,000 more seats. And subsequently, by having that, all the seats are farther away. So we'll see. I think there is potential for it to be a great game day atmosphere. I do know the people who do go to games there will be quietly impressed by how good the view is from their seats. But whether it kind of attracts the craziness that we saw during We Believe or the 2015 run, I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know. That may be doubtful. That's tough. I mean, nobody attracts that type of kind of atmosphere, though, right? You're almost doing so the much Warriors of the, a disservice by
And so much of that.
That
atmosphere was product of the fact that they hadn't been good
for
so long. It's almost like they have to take a few lumps to make the fans realize what they don't have so that they come out three times as hard. I mean, you and I have gone to games for the better part of a decade now. And when the expectation is they get to June every year, it's really hard to get excited for the first round in April.
Yeah. Even the first round in April.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like when they were losing games to the Patrick Beverley led Clippers, we were rolling our eyes that they're just wasting time. Yeah. It wasn't that same energy we felt the first year they made the playoffs with Steph Curry, where every loss felt like a gut punch because you didn't know if they would fight to play another day. Yeah. You knew last year they're gonna beat the Clippers. They're just kind of fooling around and wasting everyone's time.
Yeah, I mean, we still may get that. They'll probably be in between there. I mean, we're gonna assume they'll be a lower seed in the postseason, but we'll get into that.
But the point stands. Like if they lose games to a good playoff team, you and I are gonna have that doubt. Like they could lose in the first round.
Warriors Lakers first round.
They could lose, and when you have that doubt, that's what brings the energy.
So we've got a great show coming up. Bonte Hill is going to be in studio here for the next hour. We're going to talk about Niners. We're going to talk about Raiders. Maybe we'll do some baseball, Sam, if you're into it. The Giants are trash, so maybe I won't do it.
We're about to show our range?
Who knows?
We're about to show them not just a basketball show?
Warriors World Radio. We're going to do it all.
More than basketball bloggers.
Hashtag more than basketball. I love it. All right, so... real quick, Sam, before we hit the break, over under on the beers at Chase Center, $20 over under. Maybe we'll leave that for the
callers. You set the price good enough that I have to doubt myself. I'm not really sure. I'm going to go under. I really hope it's under. I really don't want to have to roll up to my first game at Chase Center and go up there and see $27 for a beer.
Would not surprise me in the middle of San Francisco. Call in. We'll take your calls with Bonte, 888-957-9570. Text in 95795. Or you can tweet in hashtag Warriors World Radio. We'll be right back to talk more Warriors after the break with Bonte Hill.
Now back to Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Ooh, yeah. Sam's not feeling it.
Yeah, I'm not really either.
Ah, Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari, we are back. I tried, it was Lil Jon at Temple last night. This is what I needed, right? This is what I needed. Instead, what? I got...
Lil Jon was at Temple last night?
Yeah,
doing he's still doing that?
He's a DJ now, so he was playing like party drops too. Like he had some EDM going on. Not anything like this, not the stuff that I wanted. But, I mean, he played the same old... It was like top 40.
Wow.
It was like top 40.
Check clear still, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, check clear is for Lil Jon.
A lot of people that look like me, though, less like you, Bonte. So.
Yeah, I believe it. Temple.
Yeah.
Y'all took over Temple.
Did we?
Yeah, y'all took that over. He should be lit. Then the Andy Liu of the world, just corrupted it.
Oh, boy.
Bad things about
nothing but bad things.
Nothing but great things at Temple.
Bonte, you retired. You're done. Sam's retired, too. He's over there on his phone like, I'm not even a part of this conversation. I can't.
So washed. I wouldn't know what to do in the club. Wouldn't know what to do.
It's been a good half decade since I've gone. I'd walk in, I'd be like, I'm a decade older than all of you. I can't be here.
Right. Trying to start a conversation, and it's like, boom, boom, boom. And he's just looking like a square. Last time I went to the club, I had like a teacher's plaid shirt on with some like khaki jeans. Thought it was cool.
See, that's the thing, Bonte, with the clubs in SF. So you don't need to wear dress shirts. People get that like kind of mixed up. Is you don't want to dress nice to a club in SF. That's not how it's not New York.
It's true.
It's not LA. People dress like bums here, man.
We should wear like the white tees, Sam. Like Mission Rock when I was like 21, 22.
Oh,
Mission Rock right here on Broadway. Like we would go in there with a clean white tee. Coke white tee is what they call them in the hood, in the streets. Right, let me ooh. Might have to dump that.
Yeah,
FCC on line one. FCC on line one. No, the straight liquor store white tees for like $7. Mm-hmm. We used to literally walk into the club with the white tees on. And it would just be like a whole bunch of dudes with white tees. I was like, that was the thing.
Kanye would be selling the same ones for $300.
Yeah.
Speaking of another place that's going to have all white tees, the Chase Center. Clearly going to be the atmosphere we're going to see there, right?
I don't know what. You trying to get me fired, Sam? What are you doing, man?
Sam with the segment. That was very nice.
In the studio, man. I haven't seen you boys in like 3 months, and you're already trying to get me up about the paint, man. I don't know what the hell is going to go on in Chase. But it does look dope. I don't think, like, a lot of people make that comparison to Levi Stadium. And, you know, you read Ethan's piece about what the atmosphere could be like or what it's going to. What type of crowd it's going to attract or what's special about it. I don't know. We'll see. Like, I haven't toured it yet just because I want to see it when it has people inside people of there. In it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was my big takeaway from it, too. It's like the whole – it's nice, but any new stadium's going to look nice. I think ultimately the fans determine whether it's a great arena or not. Like,
right.
If this arena flops and it turns into kind of Levi's North, it's going to be because they price out real fans.
Right.
It's not going to be because like they didn't put a, you know, like third golden hoop on the floor.
I mean, okay, so we got the TV. We got the Giants game on. They just lost to the Padres because the Giants are going to be there's no chance of the postseason.
Yeah, it's done.
But that stadium is amazing. It's a waterfront park. It's a top tier date spot in the city, pretty much.
Flip that district. Remember that district 18 years ago? Before Oracle?
Yes.
Whoa.
It's incredible. It's gorgeous, right? Great food, all of it. And you think about Joe Lacob, him being one of the loudest owners in the league, and he moves a team from Oakland to San Francisco. And you almost expect, what do you guys think? You almost expect an arena that's supposed to be louder than this. It's supposed to be, I don't know, prettier.
A little more decadent.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, like, but I just don't know what you can do with basketball. You don't have the same creative freedom. Like, he can't just decide he wants a bigger court.
You know?
It's like a regulation size. He can't, like, put a mountain on the three-point line, you know, for the opposing team or something like that. He doesn't have that kind of freedom.
You need the statues, right? You need, like, statues. You need jerseys around. You need murals representing the history of the team. Then you need good food spots. The food spots are going to be where it's at because people are like, oh, man, the concessions. You see what they're doing at Chase? Oh, man, like the lobster sandwich or the crab sandwich at Oracle. It's like two bites.
$80 worth
it. You get two bites and it's worth it, right? Spend about $60, you get like four bites and a crab sandwich and you love it. Or the garlic fries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ghirardelli ice cream. So Chase needs something like that. Plus, I think the plaza area with the big screen, that's going to be a hit. Like youngsters who just are riding the train by the Warriors Arena. And you know how it was being young here in the city. You take the bus somewhere, you're trying to holler at chicks, or chicks are trying to be seen, or you're trying to get in. Mm-hmm. That plaza area, I think, has some big-time potential to really make Chase Center lit, like as the youngsters say. Like it could be live out there.
Yeah, to me, like the big thing that makes Oracle Park. It's going to take me like 5 years to get Oracle Park. The big thing that makes that a good game day atmosphere, whether the team's good or bad, is all the stuff you can do pre and post game. Like people make a day out of it. People who go to a game, they're like, oh, let's go 3 hours earlier. Let's go to these bars. Let's go to these restaurants.
It's true.
And that's going to be the Warriors' best chance at Chase really taking off. If people can get there earlier, if there's some spots around there that people want to go to, have a few cocktails, enter the game in a good mood. I mean, it's all about your energy level when you enter in.
Yep. No, that's true. And that's something that Levi Stadium, Sam, does not have. Like, Chase is going to have
that,
right?
What does Levi's have?
I mean, it has
I mean, what the, does it have?
I mean, the Hyatt.
Spacious concourses.
Spacious concourses and our good friends at the Hyatt across the street where the bar is pretty good.
Yeah.
They serve good.
I've never been. But that's
what you have. Like, if you want to go get a drink, you're going to have to drive somewhere like Casino Matrix or something. You're going to have to drive 20 minutes away from Levi's. Wow. And that's the one thing Chase and Oracle has, which I wish folks in Oakland would figure
Oracle
out.
Arena by didn't the, have that.
Right. It didn't have that. Like, you can have it over there by Hagenberger or the Bart Station, where build it up. And that's the great thing about Oracle Park, and that's going to be the great thing about Chase's. You're going to have something to do afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, we got somebody from the text line. You won't get louder moving from Oakland to SF. Are you serious? I mean, Sam, you got some thoughts on that. I don't know.
I mean, but I thought your point with being louder was more like you expected the arena to be like almost gaudy. Like you were expecting, like, because the way Joe Lacob talks, you're expecting to see something you'd never seen before.
Yep.
And I just don't know that that's possible with basketball.
I mean, Bonte said something about Miro's. They do have, you know, a lot of Steph pictures. They got the Hamptons 5
right
up there. They've got some cool things. But for a guy like Joe Lacob, I expected, I don't know. I really don't. Maybe a statue of himself in the court? I don't know. Why not?
Not yet. Wait a couple years for that.
50-foot Lacob gold statue, arms crossed, just looking upset at the players.
That's coming soon. I give it over under 20 years. Joe Lacob has a statue up there at Chase. No, you're right. Like, I mean, after you saw the Dante Cranes when they put the shovel in the dirt.
Oh, boy.
You're like, oh, man, they got the Dante Cranes, the fireworks. Like, what's really going on at Chase? So, as Sam said, I don't know what you could do with a basketball arena that we haven't seen before. Like, it has to be the entertainment endgame, right?
Yep. I mean, it also wasn't necessarily the piece of land that they wanted, right?
Yeah,
it was the second option or third option even. I think they wanted it at Pier
32.
Yeah, 32. Yep. So it wasn't the first option for where they wanted to build that arena. I'm sure maybe if it was there, it would have been
I actually like the location they built at, but basically Pier 32 would have been right north of Oracle Park, and now they're just south of it. It's all the same neighborhood. You're talking about them being, you know, 5 minutes north of it versus 5 minutes south of it.
No, I mean, we'll see. We went into, so we'll pivot a little bit. By the way, Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari, we got Bonte Hill in here. We are not just doing Warriors today, Bonte. We're gonna get into some Niners. Should we do that now?
What about Antonio Brown working out in his game pants in the backyard? You see AP, is that like, poor Sam.
Four quarterbacks, Sam.
We're gonna have six by week one. I'm feeling really good about the Raiders. It's gonna be 52 quarterbacks and AB by opening day. That's the goal.
Oh, Antonio Brown, man. That's one athlete I do follow on IG just because he's like, he's...
He'll get a little out of pocket on
it. Sometimes
he's definitely worth the follow.
Right, he's worth the follow. Like, he's working out in the backyard, fellas, with his game pants on. Like, it's a grown-ass man, bro.
I want to get into Niners stuff, but actually, I got to start with this. Let's start on the Raiders here. Over under, how many weeks until AB... has a comment about how dissatisfied with Derek Carr he is.
Ooh. Given that John Gruden, and you can take this one out, but I want to context that a little bit. John Gruden has already said that he wants Derek Carr to throw downfield more. The season has not started. And he's already said that. Captain checkdown. I mean, Alex Smith.
Right.
Derek Alex Smith Carr.
Right. He's got nothing on Alex Smith, right? That's why Josh Jacobs is a popular pick for me in fantasy football.
Why is he on Hard Knocks?
I don't think he likes the media. I don't know why. That was weird, right? Some of the guys weren't, like Cleveland Furl.
Yeah.
He wasn't on Hard Knocks after the first episode when he went horseback riding. I don't know. Hard Knocks was a little weird. Hopefully it's such a disappointing season because
of how many characters they have on it.
Like, right.
You got AB. I mean, they're trying to pretend the AB stuff isn't happening.
Yeah.
I'm watching this. I'm like, this isn't really jiving with what I'm seeing on the news every 30 minutes.
No, I need more Mike Mayock. Like, there hasn't been enough Mike Mayock.
Right.
Especially after that gangster press conference he held. It was like, you're the in or you're out. And AB's there on the jug machine the next day. But I will give it, Sam, 6 weeks. 6 weeks before AB says something like, yeah, you know, I'm getting open and, you know, maybe the quarterback's just not seeing it.
Like, and then it's Nate Peterman time.
You sure it's not going to be Kaiser?
I don't know. I feel like it'll be a fifth mystery quarterback to pick up in the next 2 weeks.
Brandon Wheaton. He'll be a Raider this
year. Brandon Whedon. You are throwing out some...
Man. Gruden likes that. I don't... Mike Glennon.
He's searching. He's spent 20 years searching for the next Rich Gannon. It's like, because Rich Gannon was a backup who turned into being a really good starter.
That's true.
And he's just trying to find that. You know, the Bruce Gradkowski's, who was at Chris Sims, just nonstop.
Chris Sims, poor guy. Could remember to play. That was like Andy Lou on a Sunday, right?
Come on.
Mom's coming downstairs checking Andy. So, you guys excited about the Niners, man? Like, seriously.
I am excited about the Niners. I'm less optimistic, I think. I think Niners fans are very optimistic. I think Raiders fans are kind of less optimistic just as a whole. I think Niners fans think they're going to win 10 games.
Yeah.
Which I do not see. You tell me Bosa and D-Ford play 16 games at like, you know, 80 to 90% health. Yeah, I'll roll with that. I'll tell you, 10 games.
Trust the quarterback?
I was talking to Sam about this last week. Jimmy G is almost the definition of high risk and high reward.
Yeah, him and Carr are complete opposites.
Yes.
One guy is afraid to make a throw. The other guy does not see a throw.
Right.
He doesn't want to take.
But he can make that throw.
Right. He can sling it. He can sling it downfield, and he'll make the plays where you just like, throw it away, dude. Throw it away. Oh, man, what a dime.
Yeah.
But you're going to get 4 to 5 throws a game where it's just like, ooh, that should have been picked.
Mm-hmm.
Or, ooh, that's a bad throw. That was intercepted. Pick six.
When they had that 5-0 run, man, it was almost 2 years ago now, when he tore apart Jacksonville, he had games where – that was probably the last time I watched the Niners. but he had games where he would have a couple interceptions. I mean, he would have a couple throws that should have been interceptions every game.
Yep.
And it would just, you know, either be dropped or something would happen or get batted down, whatever it is. But he's that type of player. It's like when Steph Curry throws that behind the back pass, or he throws that like over the head in the, you know, when he's doubled on the pick.
Let's see Jimmy
roll.
Complete those deep balls at the same rate Steph completes.
Right.
Completes his shots. Steph before is we an make elite. That comp.
Steph, right. Steph is an MVP player. Right. He's one of the best in the league in all time. But Jimmy G has that type of kind of bravado, and I don't know if that works when you're that rusty. You haven't played football in almost 2 years. You can't be doing stuff like that.
But you can't. They're going to need to run the ball right off the bat. It's got to be a lot of Coleman and Breida. Let Garoppolo throw about 30 times a game max. I say 25 to 30 is perfect for him. Run the football. Put him in situations to where, you know, he doesn't need to complete third and 10s and third and 12s. He can get you those third and 3s, those third and 4s. You got to manage the game early on with Jimmy G until he gets that confidence back. Then he's got to figure out who the top receiver is going to be. Like, is it going to be Deebo Samuel? Is it going to be Pettis? Going to be Goodwin? I mean, outside of George Kittle, I don't know.
You ever seen someone call someone soft that often, though? Dante Pettis is getting ripped by his coach.
Second year. And he's getting called soft. Guys in Denver called him soft.
Ooh.
Like, he looked soft on punt returns.
Yeah.
Like, and he broke an NCAA record.
Yeah, he shook.
Like, where's the swag at, man? He's lightweight shook, and that's why I like Deebo. Deebo's not shook. He's got that dog in him.
All right, so Vegas has the Niners at 8 wins. So I think we all agree if they exceed that, it's a good year. Whether it's 9 wins or 11 wins, anything above 8's going to be considered successful, right?
It's funny, man. You bring that up, Sam. Earlier this week when I was with Steiny and Goo, of course you can listen to 10 to 2, shameless plug. But I brought up something in the first segment. It was like 8-8's not acceptable for the 49ers. And maybe it's because I'm a little older and I was spoiled by the win, by the glory days of Bill Walsh and George Seifert and Montana's and Steve Young's and Rice's and all that. But I said 8-8's unacceptable because you just look around in the market, right? The Giants are down. We don't know what's going to happen with the Warriors next season. The A's look like a team that's going to make the playoffs and get bounced very early because of the bullpen and the starting rotation.
Oh, Sam doesn't like that.
Yeah,
it's a fact, though.
You saw today, like Lou Trevino and Hendricks.
You know exactly how they're going to go out. We can see it right now.
Writing's on the wall.
Hour three.
Writing's on the wall for the Oakland A's. But the Niners have a chance to, like, reclaim some territory here in the Bay Area because they've been able to fly under the radar with all these losing seasons because the Warriors have been winning, because the Giants have been winning World Series and making the playoffs, and so is the A's and the Sharks, for that matter, going to the Stanley Cup Finals and making a run at the Western Conference Finals in the NHL. So looking at the Niners, man, it's almost like, all right, it's your turn now.
Yeah.
Like, if you go from 4 wins to 8 wins and you don't make the playoffs, I'm still like, 8-8's average. You still don't know where you're going to go next year because you could have got that 8-8 on a complete fluke.
Yeah.
Like they did a couple years ago going 6-10 and winning their last 5. Like, you got it. I feel like Jed, who talks a big game, and we know how they, you know, five playoff appearances in 20 years under Jed York and the York ownership, but you almost feel like if they don't make the playoffs, York is going to want to make some changes, or leaks are going to start happening.
Lynch is gone.
Lynch is gone. Dude, after Jerick McKinnon and...
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Oh. Solomon Thomas.
Solomon Thomas.
Hey, listen, Solomon Thomas... went through a lot.
Yeah, he did.
Hopefully, he's going to be a very good football player. But some of these guys that there's Malcolm Smith,
right? Who you gave, what, $26 million to?
Boy.
Jerick McKinnon, as we just mentioned. Richburg.
They got to win 9 games.
Let's unpack this, though. What needs to happen for them to actually win 9 or 10 games?
I think they got to start off hot, man. You got to start off and win those winnable games at Tampa Bay and Cincinnati.
Yep.
Because December, you look at the December schedule, I believe it's... They're at either at Baltimore or New Orleans, or you flip-flop that, but they're back-to-back road games against Baltimore and New Orleans. Then they have, like, the Rams. They have the Seahawks. They have the Falcons at home.
Yep.
They have the Packers, I think, before December. Like, those last 6-7 games are brutal for the Niners. So you want to see them get off to a hot start and at least win at Tampa, win at Cincinnati, and you come back for the home opener against Pittsburgh, where we've seen Pittsburgh in the past kind of lay those duds on the road, where they're good for a couple losses on the road. We're like, well, why is Pittsburgh losing that game? So getting off to a hot start, I think, is imperative for the 49ers to have a great year.
Yeah.
Because down the stretch, it's just, ugh,
yeah,
it's rough.
Looking at the schedule now, the Bucs, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Browns, you know, you got to win. You got to go 2-2 at least.
At least.
At least, right? And then you got the Rams on the road, and then the Redskins. Oh, come on, that's got to be a win, right? And then the Cardinals. But I think more importantly, though, is they need the Parag. Is his name
Parag Marate?
They the Niners, I think they like to fashion themselves as a team that understands or maneuvers the salary cap much smarter than other teams. End of the day, though, you got to have good players, and some of these guys that they're signing, they're getting with these quote unquote great contracts because they can't play football.
No.
They cannot stay on the field, and Dee Ford hasn't practiced yet, right? And they gave him that contract. Jerick McKinnon, he's probably done for his career. So yeah. It's a team that they need good players. And at a certain point, I think, like you said, if they win 7 games,
man,
John Lynch is gone.
Yeah. And then you got to figure out the quarterback situation. And Andy and Sam, like, they can move off of Garoppolo, which you don't want to do. You want to have a quarterback you could build around. And all of a sudden, if you got to move off from Garoppolo, now you're drafting again. You telling me you want the guy from Oregon, Justin Herbert? I didn't see that guy throw a pass more than 5 yards in the whole second half. Like, all these dink and dunk guys in college, I don't want them.
Yeah.
I don't want them.
I guess Tua.
Tua's my guy. Tua's always, yeah. But I worry about Tua a little bit in that frame. And is he going to get
Kyler
hurt?
Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. Like, I don't know, but you're right. Like, it's going to be Lynch who gets axed if the 49ers win 7 games because of all the moves. Like, and they almost have to pay these guys or overpay some of these guys because, one, they're not a good football team. The organization has shown weaknesses in terms of leaks and talking to the press and undermining people. So you got to overpay for guys who are also coming off of injuries, like Kwon Alexander. Dude led the league in missed tackles over the last 2 years. I know he's an active, you know, he's around the football, but he's coming off an ACL injury. You telling me there's not going to be a flare-up at some point this season? So, I mean, you look at all the moves, and as you mentioned, Solomon Thomas in the draft that had nothing but home run hitters. You can't miss there.
You draft
a D-tackle or DN at that high, they have to be Warren Sapp. They have to be Reggie White. They have to be all-time greats.
I mean, let's talk about Kyle Shanahan. So he's keeping 3 quarterbacks, just like Sam's guy, John Gruden.
Gruden's keeping 4.
He's keeping 4, baby.
Right. That's next level.
Three, I think, is already too much. I mean, they're only keeping Bethard because he's a third-round pick, right?
And Shanahan loves him. Yeah. He loves him.
I mean, that's an ego thing. And we talk about John Gruden. I mean, that guy has a 10-year contract.
Right.
We talk about Eagle. But do we think Kyle Shanahan's even a good coach? Like, that's the other thing as well. I mean, John Lynch, he's going to be gone if they lose.
I mean, the history of the NFL is littered with great coordinators who were average to subpar coaches. And I do think we probably have to ask the question, is that where Kyle Shanahan's going? Is he like the next Norv Turner? All-time great coordinator.
Man, that's a great comparison.
Three times been a head coach. Each time was mediocre at best.
Oh, there's been a lot of those guys, and Norv Turner is like number one. Great coordinator for those Cowboy teams. You know, great coordinator. Then you see him take the Chargers job. Or heck, he was a coordinator for the Niners when Gore ran for almost 1,700.
Great
he takes the Chargers job, and it's like, Lo Neal here, 95-70 games just said. He was just like, man, Norv just wasn't a leader of men. Like, Norv, like, really? This guy's going to get in front of a room and try to motivate us? Like, They just basically got to where they got to because of talent.
Yeah.
So I hear all these comparisons with Kyle and Sean McVay, and Colin Cowherd was like, Shanahan's the next Belichick. Like, he's already a better coach than McVay. And I'm just like, well, dog, yeah, like, I mean, you're 10-22. Let's pull up the brakes a bit.
I mean, he might be good, but you can't stand up. You talk about leader of men. You can't stand up, you know, in a room full of people that are essentially putting their, I mean, careers, life even sometimes on the line and say, we're going to keep C.J. Beathard. That's what I keep going back to. You can't do that. You can't stand up there. And it's, unless your name is, you know, Belichick, you could do whatever you want. People are going to respect you. But
Belichick has six rings.
Exactly. Once, right.
You got to have the results. People will go with you, even if they don't agree with you, if you have the track record. At what point does he start losing the room if they don't start getting wins?
Wow, you think this is the year. Because you could play that, hey, we lost five straight games by 3 points or less, and we had all these injuries. Well, this year there's no excuse with the injuries. There's no excuse with losing close games. You got to do it. That's the bottom line. You're on a six-year deal. This is year three. This is the time to basically turn it up and take that next step. Because last year, what did everybody say? Oh, Niners, they were a trendy wild card pick, a trendy team to win 10 games. And then they say, oh, well, we lost a quarterback in week three. Well, if you were expecting to win 10 games last year, and I think this team is more talented in 2019, then you have to almost win 10 games. That's why I say 8-8 is absolutely unacceptable for the 49ers.
Yeah, 8-8 is like, what are we, Texans?
Like, right. We're like the Atlanta Hawks, 41-41 in the NBA.
You
know, it's like, yeah, you're a low 17, but you're going to get bounced in the first round, miss out on the lottery pick, and be average again.
They need to show up. They've spent a lot of money. They've got a lot of talent, and they've got too many draft picks that are high picks. But, all right, we'll go to break. It's Andy Liu. It's Sam Esfandiari, Warriors World Radio. We've got Bonte Hill in studio. We'll talk about the Warriors again, what Kerr is going to do about the offense, and we're also going to go over the worst trades in Bay Area sports history after the break.
Warriors World Radio continues on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Turn your mic.
You've been on vacation, Andy?
Ugh. Producer Wes is crushing it. This is what I need. You know, sometimes you get some producers that play some other stuff, but he knows when I walk in the door, he knows what I want.
No, Wes got the beats.
Chemistry.
Wes brings it.
Yeah. Been out for 2 months, come back, it's like nothing has changed. Sam was saying during the break, it's like riding a bicycle, you know?
You guys been out 2 months?
Yeah, we've been out for a while.
What the hell you been doing?
Enjoying the sun.
Well, I follow you on IG. You don't need to say, what has Sam been doing, man? I know what Andy's been doing. Andy's been getting like 3 hours of sleep a night.
It's bad.
Just hanging out. Just taking a little break after the NBA season. You listen to Warriors World Radio.
Decompressing after a rough finals.
Sam,
hey, that was a stressful playoff run. There's no way around that. From basically the moment KD got hurt, every game felt like a month.
Those finals felt like 2 months, right?
I look back at it, I thought it was like a year ago. I was just like, I almost didn't even remember who won the championship. Do you think Raptors fans even like?
I mean, I think the whole league already forgot because Kawhi just left town immediately.
Kind of forgot in a week, right? Yeah. Well, didn't their draft happen right after the finals? The finals happened. Raptors went on a Thursday or Friday night, and then the draft is the next Thursday. Yeah. It's like we're already fast forwarding to the next season. It's done.
Yeah,
and Kawhi's gone.
Hey, Producer Wes, we got a question from the 408. What song was that?
I don't know what that was.
Ali Boumaye. Wow, okay. Okay, Ali.
Ugh. We got people listening. It's a Sunday on a Labor Day weekend. Whew. Looks like we got people paying attention out there. Wake them up. You know, you can call in 888-957-9570. Before we went to break, we were talking about the Niners and the Raiders. We'll get back to Bay Area sports. But as Sam just segued us to, let's talk about the Warriors because it is Warriors World Radio. All right. So next season, let's get into a little preview of next season. Training camp starts soon. Regular season.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Wow. 3 weeks. I just don't remember the last 2 months what happened, Bonte. It
was wild, man. Injuries, injuries, and injuries.
Yeah.
And then drama, drama, drama than KD going down in five, and it was, yeah. Whoa.
It's like a Bachelor's in Paradise in the NBA
Boogie was
off-season.
A warrior. Yeah. Boogie was a warrior. Remember that?
Yeah. Ooh, Boogie, boy. Ooh,
you want a rough couple him. Months Oof. For him.
Yeah. I mean, rough couple years Oof. For Boogie.
I mean.
You go from, you're about to get a supermax,
about to get arrested.
I mean, now you're making 3.5, and that 3.5 you're going to need for probably legal fees or something. Man, it's rough for Boogie.
Oof. Yeah. We're staying away from that one.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr. And what he's going to do with the Warriors. I think a lot of the quotes this offseason has been around D'Angelo Russell and how he feels about playing with Steph Curry and the rest of the team. But also on the other side, how Steve Kerr feels about transforming the offense, because he's already put it in writing and said it in interviews that he's going to change the offense for Willie Cauley-Stein. That's crazy.
Do you want to do it for Steph? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Steve Kerr does. He set me up, Andy, man. It's Andy's fault, man.
I try.
I just feel like it's going to be interesting, because the last few years, I feel like he's been coaching the X's and O's on autopilot and dealing mostly with ego management, shall we say. A lot more kind of massaging people's egos and, you know, dealing with the personality conflict. Now we're back to basketball. Now it's a question of how can I make all these players fit together?
Oh, Sam, you dirty dog, man. I know what you said. No, I'm really intrigued, man, like to see Kerr actually coach some guys. And he's going to have to get up off that bench and really do some coaching. As you said, he was on cruise control, heck, over the last three seasons, basically. When it came down to doing some real coaching, all he had to do was, all right, KD or Steph, 1-3 pick and roll that we all begged for, which we rarely got, or just moving Steph off the ball. I don't know what the hell. At times, Steve Kerr just looks like, I can't call it, man. Like, they're just out there running and playing pickup. And Kerr's cool with that. Now we get to see him draw up some plays, and obviously we'll see more PNRs with D'Angelo Russell. But I'm hyped for this season, though. Like, I'm hyped for this because I do think with the core, you see Klay Thompson out there living. I think he'll be back.
Oh, he's living.
At some point. After
is he even hurt?
Break. I don't know.
I'm seeing all this stuff. I'm like, you know, he might be able to make the opener at this rate.
Right.
He just shows up to training camp. He's playing one. He's locking up D'Angelo in scrimmages.
Dude.
On one leg. Now he's living. Looks like somebody said he was engaged to, was that Laura Harry?
Yeah, a girl from Spider-Man. Yeah.
Is she from Spider-Man?
I don't think he's engaged, but he's certainly living
out there holding
the
hands. Yeah,
living the blissful life. Very blissful couple right now.
Yeah, very, very happy. Keeping it to one girl. Shouts to Klay Thompson. Good for
That's
him.
A good thing.
Yeah, shouts to him. So the last time Steve Kerr, I don't want to say actually had to coach, but the last time Steve Kerr had to transform the schemes both offensively and defensively was when it was the first season coaching the Warriors. He benched Andre Iguodala, David Lee got hurt, started Draymond Green, and essentially just transformed the NBA, and they became the best offensive and defensive team. And he put in a motion offense that I don't think Mark Jackson had any idea what was going on. So that team won the championship, recruited Kevin Durant, made another finals, and you know, the rest is history. That's the last time he's had to kind of do something like that. We get that now. So I am very interested to see what Steve Kerr has in store, because if he's going to change the way his philosophy is, I think that's a good thing.
I do too.
But if not, we got some ego problems, like Kyle Shanahan and John Gruden, our favorite other Bay Area coaches. I don't know.
Yeah, do you think he's actually going to change the offense, or is he going to be like,
all you millennials,
and just yell at them to keep running back screens for each other the whole time?
Imagine Steph Curry running back screens for Willie Cauley-Stein all season. Twitter would explode.
I do think we're going to see a lot more Steph screening for D'Angelo Russell than the other way around.
Yeah.
And I think
Steph's really good at screen setting.
I mean, he's too good at it. He needs to take a note from the other superstars in the league and act like he's too confused to know how to do it.
Or too good. I mean, even like Steph Curry playing defense, he's too good at trying to play defense. Look, James Harden and Russell Westbrook don't play defense.
No, they don't.
Because they're too cool to play defense.
And they don't win
don't.
Championships either.
Fair.
They won't be playing no defense in Houston. Poor Eric Gordon got that money, man. But he's going to want to get traded by the All-Star. But he's going
to
be
he made sure to get
here.
Paid out because he's about to have to guard three guys.
Right. He's over under for the Warriors win total. It's been hovering around 47.5, 48.5. Almost think they can win 50 if everything goes right. Where do you guys see the Warriors?
I'm low on the Warriors. I'm low on the Warriors because, I mean, as much as we joke about Klay Thompson, don't think he's coming back. Even if he does come back, they have to reintegrate him with D'Angelo and the rest of the team. I think they're under 47. I think maybe an 8 seed. I just don't think this team has any defense on the team. They got Looney. They got Draymond. They lost a bunch of people, obviously.
Right.
Don't think D'Lo or Steph can... They're like guys that you can play on defense if they're their fourth or fifth guy.
Right.
Right. I don't think they have defense. Offense, they don't have enough.
I think you're holding them to the 2017 standards where, you know, you saw a team that could win any night versus anyone else. I don't think they're as bad as you think they are, Andy. Like, we saw Portland win 52 games last year. You telling me this roster is worse than Portland?
I think Steph and Draymond are better than anything Portland has, but look at the depth of this team, though.
Did Portland have any depth last year?
They had good players. I mean, they had Nurkic that played the whole season. That's in itself better than
half the season.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Collins. Enes Kanter.
Enes Kanter.
Even. But, I mean, those are regular season players, right? I don't think
the Warriors... So, Enes Kanter is the difference between the Warriors making the play or being a 50-win team and not making the playoffs?
Well, they have depth players that I don't think the Warriors have. Even Seth Curry would be better than anybody the Warriors have on the bench, right? Who are we going to watch? Like, let's say Steph or Draymond, they're not going to play 82. Let's say they play 72, right?
Okay.
But...
So pretty close, but still like 8 to 10 games.
Gonna assume that they're relatively healthy. I just don't think they have enough talented players, like enough NBA players on the team. You look down the roster. I mean, Alec Burks, is that who we're relying on, right? Jordan Poole.
Is he worse than Seth Curry?
Absolutely.
I'm intrigued with Alec Burks.
Absolutely.
I'm intrigued with him.
Seth can play. Come on.
Seth is smart.
Yeah, he's a shooter.
He's a shooter. He can handle the ball a little bit.
Maybe I'm underrating the rest of the roster, but I look at it, it's a heat check roster to me.
I agree with you. It's a lot of Glenn young Robinson. Names who, Myers and Kerr are either going to look like geniuses or we're going to have some questions next offseason.
Yeah. I'm intrigued with Draymond being under contract. He's going to be barking. I think he'll come in shape. He'll just be like, look, man, everybody's counting us out. He'll play that chip on his shoulder. Steph is going to be Steph. What are you going to get from Willie Cauley-Stein, man? Like, he thought he was going to get chipped out coming from Sacramento this offseason, and he didn't. Now he's on a prove-it deal. D'Lo is fascinating to me because it's like, whoa, that's the last guy I thought would be on the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, it's really weird. If you told me 2 years ago D'Angelo Russell would be on the Warriors and Ring Chase, I'd be like, what went wrong?
You know? Come on, man. Like, D'Lo's a wild card, man. Like, did he really mature in Brooklyn? Like...
He's a better player for sure, but how good a player he is a different question, right? Yeah,
keep him away from Klay, huh? So let's talk about D'Angelo for a second and the upside of what he can bring.
You're listening to the 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and an HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Wow, look at you guys reading legals.
We're vets, Ponte. Come on
reading
now.
Legals out here now. Okay, now. Resetting.
Yeah, what? That? Had Sam, he just went right into it, and I was like, ugh, I was ready for it. Carl didn't even need to text us. Actually, he did, like, 3 times. But, hey, no big deal. Where were we? D'Angelo Russell. Sam is higher on him than I am. I think he's a player that there's not much upside in terms of can he be someone that's more than just kind of a stats guy. Right. 20 right. points, but what does it take to get 20 points?
The efficiency, yeah.
Right. Do you play defense? Do you try to play defense or do you try to play team defense if you don't have the talent necessary to play defense? I have a lot of those questions. He's still young. I think he's like 24, right?
He's 23. Yep.
23 even. So he has that upside, but he's not a winning player at least yet to me. And maybe Steph gets him there. Maybe
so
the Warriors
my, my
him
question
there.
For you, he was the best player on a playoff team last year. And it was in the East.
In the East.
And he wouldn't have made an all-star team if he was in the West.
Correct.
We all know that. And he was an all-star replacement, so it's not like he was a...
So it was like bottom of the barrel.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he was closer to the 25th best player than the first best player.
Right.
But my question for you is, do you think he's a better player than C.J. McCollum?
No, not right now. Does he have the upside to be a better player than C.J. McCollum? Yeah, of course, because he's young. But I don't think he's a better...
Can he buy in defensively? Because I'm not worried about
even
him offensively.
CJ doesn't play defense.
I think he'll, with Steph Curry, the gravity of Steph Curry, where everybody's going to be doubling him, D-Lo's going to see a lot of one-on-one against weaker defenders where he could just take him off the dribble, hit his little floater. You don't want to settling for bad threes, but he could shoot that three, and he can handle the rock, man. I think that's what's really underrated about D-Lo is his point guard ability to at least handle the rock. You know, I'm not saying run a club, but he can handle the rock.
He's a great passer. And I think
those – great, dude, he's really good when it comes – I remember him at Ohio State when I was like, whoa, who is this dude? Like dropping dimes and bounce passes, everything. So he will have it easier because Steph Curry's right there. And so can he have that impact outside of the box score where you say, okay, he averaged 21 and 7, but what did he shoot, 40%? You know, three-point percentage was under 40 at times. So I think he'll be better. But C.J. McCollum? He's not there yet.
No.
But, man, if he could get close to that.
One thing I'll say, guess what CJ averaged when he was 23?
I'm guessing under 15.
6.8 points per game.
Yep.
And he's a late bloomer player. Like, it's not like there's some sort of, like, well, since he averaged and D'Lo averaged 21, that means D'Lo is going to be three times as good as him or anything like that. But my point is, I think sometimes it's easier to look at what D'Angelo Russell can't do instead of look at what he's already proven he can do at 23. He's playing next to the best teammate he's ever played with, Steph Curry. Steph Curry is better than anyone he had in the Lakers or the Nets. Why can't he take another step? Why can't he be a better player than he was? I think you guys are both looking at him and comparing him to, like, Kevin Durant and, like, okay, he's never going to be as good as KD.
He won't be that.
Yeah, but it's – and so it's just like lowering your expectations from title or bust. It's kind of weird. Usually when teams lose guys like that, they're just awful. They don't just fall back to, like, a normal playoff team.
I do like Warriors management for that particular move. I think they didn't have to do it. They couldn't have ran it back. I think Iguodala would have been fine playing on the team, on the Warriors again. They probably win less games in the regular season, but I think they had to make that move because you got to shake things up. You got to find some type of upside. You know the upside with the team of what they had without KD. We don't know what's going to happen here with D'Angelo Russell. And if they do end up trading him, you get some type of value back. I think they had to do it. Now they gave up a couple first rounders. That's fine.
Right.
I think Joe Lacob said it. It might have even been on your show, Vontae, or somewhere in the last week where he basically said, you know, we love Iguodala, but he's 35 turning 36.
Right.
At some point, he's going to retire. And, I mean, it was hard trading him because of everything he's meant to the team.
Yep.
But it was the right move.
Oh, no doubt.
And to me, it almost reminded me of like those 80s Niners where they would cut bait with a guy maybe 1 year earlier. And the fans wouldn't be happy about it, but you knew ultimately it was the right move.
Yep.
Yeah, Patriots do that all the time.
Bill Walsh did it all the time with those great 49er teams. Hell, he cut Dwight Clark and told him, and Dwight's like, man, I'm still playing at a pretty good level. And Bill's like, I got to look ahead. I got to look towards the future. You got to make a move a year ahead of time. And that's what the Iguodala move was. When you're going to open up a new building and you have no Kevin Durant, no Livingston, and Klay Thompson's going to be out for half the season at least, Iguodala wasn't going to give you 30, 35 minutes a game. He wasn't going to give you what he gave you in the NBA Finals when he's hitting jumpers off of Kawhi in Game 6.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah.
Iguodala's not going to do that.
And I think we forget. I mean, he was struggling to stay healthy in the playoffs when it mattered. 2 years in a row. I mean, he didn't play half the Portland series.
Yeah.
Nope.
He missed.
Yeah. It's tough.
I mean, they almost lost to Houston because he got hurt the year before.
Yep.
Now you're going to depend on him to play 30 minutes a night for 82. Like, that's not happening.
No. And it might not be the right move in the end, but I think it is the right process at the end of the day right now. So I also think Andre will be back. Maybe not this year, but he'll be back. He's not retiring after this year. All right. We actually have a caller on Labor Day weekend. Whoa. Sunday.
I wish I had your soundboard. I mean, give you a nice little applause
You got one, Sam, for
you
us?
Got an applause for us
you
over
got,
here?
Yeah, you got
I'm
some...
not ready. Just
all right.
Let's go to Rich in Los Altos. He thinks D'Angelo has upside. Rich,
okay,
how you doing?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.